reality, and seems like he's the enemy's been trying to sabotage my thoughts. So desire and interest in your prayers that we'll be able to share this with you in a manner that it'll be get the Lord's point of view across to us. I'd like to start out reading a dictionary definition of the word reality. Reality in the dictionary means actual being or existence of anything, truth, fact, in distinction from mere appearance. In other words, what really it is and not just what it looks like. Something in intrinsically important, not merely a matter of show. In other words, something that is very essential, not just a cosmetic thing, but the deep-seated, deep-rooted, fundamental reality. Okay. I found a quote that goes like this: "Reality is what we are left with after we quit believing." I don't know who said that. It's just a quote that I found. Maybe I should have wrote down who said that. I think about the things that I have witnessed in my life that people have believed. And have you ever run into somebody that believed something that was not true? I'm not talking about something that was kind of questionable, or I'm talking about just they believed something that there was a perfect explanation for what they believed was some kind of unrealistic thing. So I'm going to tell you one. I worked with a man a number of years ago, and I didn't think he was strange or anything like that. I mean, he was just a mechanic like I was, and somehow the conversation went to UFOs one day. I don't know how the conversation got on UFOs, but it got on UFOs, and he said after somebody else had kind of give their perspectives and what they believed and what all of the, some of them what they had seen, I think they were under the influence of something else, but this man said, and he wasn't someone that I was suspicious that would be intoxicated or anything. He says, "They fly over my house almost every night." And I said, "Really?" I was living in Oklahoma then. He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I live over there." I said, "Well, where do you live?" And he said, "It's over there by Fairland." Most of us know where Fairland, Oklahoma is. And he said, "They fly over my house almost every night." And I said, I just told him, "You know, I was born in Missouri. And I said, I got to see this to believe it." And he said, "Well, come on over." And I says, "Well, what time do they normally come over?" And he said, "About 10:30 or 11. And another one of our co-workers over there said, "I'd kind of like to see that too." And I said, "Well, when is a good time for us to come over? I want to see this." And he said, "Well, just any time." And it was in like November. A lot of times in that time of year, the sky is pretty clear, you know. So a lot of times if the time of the month is such where the moon is, I mean, it can almost drive without headlights, you know. So I thought, this would be a good time. It was pretty cool that night, down around freezing or so. And so this other coworker and I, we got in my truck and we went to his house. And we got there about, 9:45, something like that. And I said, "All right, or that. I'm ready to see a UFO flying over your house." And he'd give us all the reasons that he believed that's what it was. Well, he said, I don't usually see them here in the house. He said, it's usually when I go out in the pasture. So I said, well, let's go. So we went out in his, he had, I don't remember, 40 acres or something like that. We went out in the pasture, got away from the mercury vapor lights and, you know, the other buildings and stuff. And we're standing out there looking up in the sky. And after about 30 minutes of standing out there in the cold weather and looking up in the sky, I don't see nothing. He said, well, he said, just wait a little bit. He says, usually about this time is when they come by. And I was about ready to say, I'm ready to go home. And he said, oh, there it is. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime that there is something, an unexplained phenomena fixing to happen, and somebody says, oh, there it is. There's this sensation that kind of, you know, kind of hair stands up on the back of your neck. You know, all right, now I'm ready to see what this is. And he said, there it is. It's flying over my house. And up in the sky, really, really high, there was this blinking light. Blinking like that, going across the sky. And I called him by name. I said, that's an airplane. He said, no, it's not. He said, if it was an airplane, you would hear something. And I said, it's 35,000 feet up there. That's about 7 miles up there where that airplane is. And I said, the reason we can see it is because the sky is clear. And I said, you stop and think about where you live. You're real close to I-44. I said, that airplane is probably coming from Chicago going to Tulsa, and it's going to land in Tulsa. I said, that's an airplane. That's a little light that is blinking on that airplane. Nope, that's a UFO. You know, I left his house convinced in my mind that it was an airplane. And when I left, he was still convinced that it was a UFO. He believed that. Now, I don't know where you're at today on that. But I'll tell you this, I'm convinced the reality was it was an airplane en route to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it was probably preparing its descent at when it was starting over Fairland. But that might seem pretty reasonable. That might seem pretty, yeah, everybody knows that's an airplane. And you might leave here thinking that I'm the squirrely one and it really was a UFO. I don't know. But I want to tell you that when that airplane come down from the sky, the reality of it being an airplane, I don't know what airlines it was. I couldn't see the airplane. It was dark. It was a long ways up there. The reality was what was left over after you quit believing whatever you believe. That's the point I'm trying to make. There are illusions to believe people that have believed things and have tried to distort reality in the Scripture. I'd like for us to look at a few of them. I'd like for us to go to Proverbs, the 20th chapter. And notice somebody here that's trying to distort reality. In Proverbs, the 20th chapter and the 14th verse. And you've heard this scripture used in other settings, other messages. But for the sake of today, think about the reality that's trying to be distorted. The writer here says, it is not, saith the buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasted. What's the man in the verse trying to do? He's trying to cause reality to be distorted by something. He's trying to impose a belief on someone else that's something different than reality. And when he goes away from there, if he can get you to believe something that's not reality and strike a bargain for something that is very valuable, and he can convince you that it's really nothing more than scrap value, and he takes it away, and when he leaves, he goes and tells the first person that he knows, or I made the deal of my lifetime. The reality is that this is a very, very valuable article, whatever it is. This is very valuable. But I got them to believe that it was just junk, and I bought it for junk price. So the reality was different than what he was wanting the seller to think, right? We have to contend with this. It doesn't matter if somebody's trying to get you to believe there's a UFO flying over their house, or somebody's trying to get you to believe that that old book you have or that old piece of furniture you have is really nothing but just rubbish, and I won't charge you anything for taking it off of your hands. I'll just haul it off for you. It's just cluttering up your yard or your bookcase or whatever it is. And when they leave, they say, oh, there was only 10 of these ever produced, and I got one of them now. This thing is... You all have experienced something of that, I'm sure. And in Matthew, the 7th chapter, I want to notice something here about reality being distorted. It's Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning in verse 15. Jesus' own words. He says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Beware, because there could be someone come along with a false pretense. So someone that's trying to discount your beliefs, somebody that's trying to discount your values, somebody that's trying to discount your property, if it's the case of the seller. And he says, beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's... They look different than who they really are. Really what they have is consuming you on their mind. All right? He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Reality will prove what something is really made out of. If I was somewhat convinced that there was a UFO flying over my house, I think that instead of just telling my coworkers, I would get somebody that had the resources available to try to intercept this thing. You know, if one flew over your house almost every night, if they only flew over your house 100 times in a year, that's a pretty good chance of predicting where it's going to come from. And I have to think that all you'd have to do is make a few phone calls to some government agencies, and they would have something in place to intercept that thing. But I really believe if you call somebody and they came out and looked at it, they'd have the same conclusion that I did. That's an airplane. All right? So the reality is, if it's something that is presented, the reality is the fruit that comes out of that is going to manifest what it really is. If it's a false prophet, give it some time and you'll see. You'll be able to see what it's really of. If it's the real thing, that'll be able to be proved as well. In 2 Samuel, there's a passage here where someone didn't have a hold of the whole story. In 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter, and there was conflict in this setting between David and his son Absalom. Absalom was endeavoring to set himself up as king. I want to begin reading in the 28th verse of the 18th chapter of 2 Samuel. And he says here, "And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, All is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king." Now, it sounds like he is being able to communicate the events here. And the king said, Is the young man Absalom safe? King David was concerned about his son and his well-being. And Ahimaaz answered, When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. The reality was, he didn't know. He said, All is well. But in reality, he didn't know the details. All right. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, my son. Now, was all well? No, it wasn't. Reality was his son was dead. That's what the reality was. But the first man that got to him that brought the message, he said, All is well. The reality was it wasn't all well. You know, the most courteous thing that we can say or we find ourselves saying when somebody says, How are you doing? What do we say? Fine. Most of the time we say fine. I had a man came into the place of business here the other day. And he's my neighbor. Some of you know him. I said, well, how are you today? And he said, fine. And he sat down on my little stool there and he's by my toolbox. And he said, no, really? I'm not doing very good at all. The reality was, my back's hurting. I can't hardly stand up very long. And he began to tell me some of his troubles. So things weren't, the reality was, it wasn't fine. And you know, there are many areas in our life that the appearance may be different than reality. There are many areas in our life. There are the areas of finances, and people may look on and say, wow, they must really be doing good financially. In reality, sometimes they're almost to be overcome by the creditors. And then there are those that look like they are in perfect physical health. Remember, not so long ago, Brother David here come told me about someone that him and I both know and thought they were reasonably healthy, and he said he heard they died. They passed away. Well, it was a shock to me. And I've been in that place of business, and he's not there. He's not there anymore. You know, we are in a world today that will help us with our physical appearance to look younger than we really are. You know, all of you that are adults here today, the reality is you look older than you did 12 years ago. I look older than I did 12. I looked at a picture just the other day. We were looking through some pictures before Drew's graduation last weekend, and I come across a picture of myself sitting in a chair down at my mother's house, and I was a little taken aback. I had some gray hair, but it wasn't nothing like I have today. I know I look older now than I did. The reality is, you know, I could fix some of that. I don't know, it's kind of a difficult maintenance situation, but I could fix the color of my hair. That's about the easiest thing I could do to fix. But the reality is I'm still 50. I'm still 50. No matter how dark my hair would be, I'd still be 50. You know, our spiritual well-being is an area that we need to check. What is the reality of where I am? You know, sometimes we can maybe say the right things to the right people, or sometimes we can do the right things in the right places. But what is the reality? If what others perceive is not reality, did you know disaster is imminent? It's just like someone that looks like they are prospering financially, and in reality, if the creditor has been calling them wanting to know when they're going to make the mortgage payment, you know, disaster could be lurking right around the corner. And we live in a world that is so caught up in the things that are not reality. Reality is something that I have to come to grips with if I'm ever going to progress in life. Reality is the thing that I really, I can believe a lot of things. I can put up a lot of facades in my life. I can put up a facade spiritually. I can put up a facade in my physical appearance. I can put up a facade financially. All of that I can do for a little while. But reality is what it comes down to, what I have to deal with. I can keep my emotions in check for a little while. I can portray spiritual courage. But all of us have to contend with the reality of what is really down deep in our hearts and our lives. I'm not saying that you are deceitful or that I'm deceitful. But we'll never achieve the dreams or our desires if we keep avoiding reality. I'll never make progress. If I believe that I am a spiritual person because everybody else perceives me as that, I will never make progress unless I deal with the reality of whether I am or not. I'll never make progress. I'll never make progress in my financial situation. I'll never make progress. You know, I can believe mirrors do a lot for us, you know. I can believe I'm thin all week long if I don't look in a mirror. But if I look in a mirror, I can tell I'm not thin. Okay? And the unless I come to grips with the reality and begin to work on what is reality, I will never achieve what my desire is. In Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 5, he says here, I believe this is where I want to read. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. His heart is not with thee. The reality is that it's not really what it looks like it is. The reality is that it's not what it should be. And that's where, if we start working on reality, then the other will fall into place. We live in such a... I don't know how to say this. We live in such a... If this is not technically correct, maybe somebody can help me. But we live in such a virtual world of fantasy all around us that it's hard for people to really know what reality is. I just want to mention something for a just an illustration, okay? I'm not trying to be dogmatic, and I'm not trying to classify something as right and wrong. But, you know, I can come across as invincible, and I can come across as some emotionally powerhouse via social media. All right? It doesn't matter if it's something like Facebook or if it's something like as simple as texting. I can come across as someone that is very forceful. All right? But if you get me on the phone, it may sound different. There can be uncertain. The reality is there can be some uncertain. You know, I don't know what your perception is of me. I hope it's not too negative. But I want you to know that I have fears. And I have uncertainties. I have things that I don't feel confident about. And I have to deal with those. And I have to cope with those. That's reality. I'm human just like everybody else is. And when we... I just want to challenge us to face reality in our everyday lives. The reality is, if I don't face who I really am, if I don't face my own personal struggles, if I don't recognize them and I don't address them and I don't ask God to help me with my difficulties, it's going to be like a mortgage that's going to sneak up on me. And I'm going to be in foreclosure. I don't want to be in foreclosure financially. I don't want to be in foreclosure emotionally. I don't want to be in foreclosure spiritually. I want to be able to read my title clear. So may the Lord help us all. And I'm included in this. I want to face the reality. Am I making progress in my spiritual walk with the Lord? Or am I just propping up a facade and patching the holes? What am I doing? You see. We have to face the music sometime. We have to face reality. I would a lot rather face the music. If you'll let me use that expression. I'd a lot rather face reality today than on the judgment day. I'd a lot rather be able to contend with the things that cause me to feel overwhelmed today than I would in the end. Because the scripture teaches us as long as we've got time, we've got an opportunity to make adjustments in our life. We have an opportunity to make things clear with us and the Lord. But if I push reality on the back burner, if I just try to ignore it, if I hold my emotions in check, whatever it is, reality is still there. And I can believe I've got everybody that knows me fooled. But if the reality is I've got something in my life, it's not going to fool the Lord. And when I get to the end, I'm going to have to face the music then. And I'd a lot rather face it now. I'd a lot rather face it now. I'd a lot rather get the reality. See, that's the only thing I can really work with. You know, I'm aware of how easy it is to accumulate baggage. It's easy for all of us to accumulate baggage. It's easy for us to think this don't matter or that don't matter. And it's easy for us to start... just going along in a virtual world spiritually. And I know how difficult it is for us to face the reality. I have one more virtual situation that I want to share with you. This is just a everyday thing. Everybody here knows about my little white truck. Everybody here, when I tell you something about it, your first inclination, if you've never seen it or you've never driven it, your first inclination might be, this is a real positive thing. I put a diesel engine in it. A lot of people associate the diesel with power. Reality is it don't have none. A lot of people associate that with fuel efficiency. it's not very fuel efficient unless you're burning something besides diesel in it. It makes a lot of smoke. And it makes you want to pull over on the side of the road when somebody comes up behind you so they can go around real quick. That's reality. And you know, I can brag it up as what it is, and if you've never seen it, you might think I really got something. But the reality is I have almost nothing. I have almost nothing. And you know, you can make a big profession, but if it's just smoke, and the reality is you don't have much, reality is what we're going to have to deal with. So my challenge for all of us today is don't live in a virtual world. Don't throw your weight around with impressions and words, spiritually, financially, emotionally. Don't do it. Let's face reality. That's all I can work on. That's where, if we will really get a hold of dealing with who I really am, where I really am, what I really am, if we'll really start working on that, it doesn't matter where we are, who we are, or how much baggage we've allowed accumulate. When we say, Lord, when I look at who I really am, I don't like it. That's the only place that we can start fixing stuff. Yes. That's the only place we can start making progress. And when we start with reality, really, this is where I'm at. And when we start there, and the Lord will, you know, He doesn't care. He knows anyway. I thought I was done, but I'm going to tell you one more story. With the boys, there's been multiple times that I think they believed something that wasn't reality. I remember one time I came home from work at lunch, and I gave one of them the job of mowing the grass. And I come home at lunch, and the grass wasn't mowed. They'd had all morning. I'd got them up, made sure the lawnmower was ready to go when I went to work, got them on the lawnmower. I seen them going down cutting grass when I left for work. 4 hours later, I come home at lunch, and it looked like they'd maybe got 10% of it done. I come in the house, I said, what's happening? Why isn't the yard mowed? Lawnmower quit. Won't start. Really? I said, so how'd that happen? He said, well, I just come up here to the house to get a drink or go to the restroom. That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. And he said, I shut it off and it won't start. That sounds pretty sensible, doesn't it? I went out there. Sure enough, I twist the key. Nothing would happen. I'd done a little checking on it. I said, I think I know what you did. But there's more to the story than what you've just told me. So, after I got home from work, I took the piece apart and found that all the windings in my generator and starter, it looked like a bomb had went off in there. And I said, I'm going to tell you what happened, and you tell me if this is not true or not. I said, the reality is, I said, you put your thumb up there and you made the engine go a lot faster than it was supposed to. And you probably went from the front yard all the way down by the highway, all the way up here to the house. And when you got here, you let off of it. I said, it probably backfired and you shut it off and now it won't start. I said, isn't that what happened? That's what happened. That's the reality of it. But see, what he believed was that he could just tell me part of the story. And I, you know, we can go through life thinking that we can just tell the Lord the same thing we tell everybody else. If you think you can tell the Lord everybody mistreated me, and that's why I didn't do what maybe I could have done. And the Lord knows you had a bad attitude all along. You know, He knows that. Just like I knew what... You know how I knew what He had done? Because I did it once. I knew how, what made that kind of thing happen. You know, Jesus has been touched with... He's been tempted like we are. He's been touched with the same infirmities. He knows what it's like to be human. Did you know that? And He's there to help you. But don't try to tell Him the same story you tell me. It won't work. You can tell me and I'll just have to go with it because I don't know any different. But the Lord knows. He knows what's really there. And when we go to do business with Him, He knows what reality is. And we can tell Him whatever we want to, but it's not going to be a spaceship. It's going to be an airplane. You pray for me. I want to deal with reality, and I want to make progress. I desire your prayers.